Hey, what's up, everybody? Good morning. This is another episode of Sketchbook Audio. I got 21 Pilots rocking out behind me. It's a Level of Concern. I love this song. I've been cruising a lot around Michigan and just jamming to this. It's funny because I didn't realize in the lyrics he talks about quarantining. And before I get into too much, I want to let you know that we're still quarantining, technically. I mean, you can go out and do things. You can, you know, as long as you wear a mask, please wear a mask. But before we get into the actual episode, I just wanted to say that and point that out. They're not going to get political on you or anything. But enjoy this tune, and we will be right back. All right, we are back with Sketchbook Audio. Man, I'm excited today. I haven't podcasted in a while, and I apologize, especially to my sponsors. One of those sponsors being my best friend, Jay, one of my best friends for a long time. I've known this guy forever, and thank you for continually sponsoring me. I think at this point, he's kind of just forgotten that he sponsors me on anchor.fm. But hey, you too can also sponsor me on anchor.fm. All you have to do is go to anchor.fm and find my podcast, which is Sketchbook Audio, and you can go ahead and sponsor me for as little, as low as 99 cents a month. That's nuts. So my buddy's losing pennies on me because I'm not streaming as much as I should be. So I got to keep up with my listeners. I got to keep up with my followers. And I appreciate all the people who have been following me. And to anybody who's been watching me as I work this podcast into my Instagram account, which is sketchbook_audio, you can find Sketchbook Audio on any major podcast source, whether it's Stitcher, iHeartRadio, iTunes. I think Google Music is now switching over to YouTube, so you could maybe find it on there too. I don't know how that's going to work. Or you can just go to the original source, which is anchor.fm. And then again, search for Sketchbook Audio. Today, I've got a lot of cool things to talk about because the auto industry is back in, oh, that was air quotes on the side here. They're back in full swing, and there's a lot of cool things that are happening and a lot of things that I've missed out on talking about because I haven't been podcasting as much as I should be. So let's just run down everything that I'm going to be talking about during these next, we'll say 45 minutes. We've got the Ram Rebel TRX. It has nothing to do with a T-Rex. Sorry to say, but Ram has done a lot of really cool things inside the vehicle to let you know that, aha, we heard you guys talking about dinosaurs and the Raptor and, you know, so them listening to the customer is key. The next thing I will be talking about is the Hyundai Tucson reveal, which happened 2 days ago at night. It was a live reveal online, and Hyundai and Kia really have design down. And not only do they have design down, they are, I'll say it, avant-garde. They are breaking the mold, and they are giving us vehicles and designs that are sculptural at an affordable price too. I mean, the new Kia K5, which is a gorgeous looking sedan, it's a mid-size sedan. It comes in under 30K, I believe, for the base models. And the base model looks great. It doesn't have the turbocharged engine that you want. I think it does have the 1.6 liter turbo, which is still a good engine. It's what's in my Kia Soul, and it's not weak by any means. That's the one I test drove not too long ago, which I also did a live stream on. But it's a good vehicle no matter which engine you choose. The Kia Stinger got an update, a minor facelift on the exterior, but on the interior, the car went way up market, and that's a good thing, I think, for the Kia Stinger. Although, it kind of encroaches on Genesis a little bit, not a lot, because one is meant for exhilarating performance and speed and fun and sportiness, while the other one is, the Genesis is meant more for that luxury, but I can go a little faster if I put my foot on the gas kind of mentality. So, you know, you pick and choose which one you want. But anyways, the Hyundai Tucson is a phenomenal design, and it's just way out in left field, and I like it, but I also dislike it, and I will tell you why. We're going to look at some pictures while we're on this Instagram feed, and we'll go from there. Speaking of Hyundai also revealed the new Kona, the Kona N-Line. I think they showed the Kona Hybrid or plug-in hybrid or full electric. I don't know. I can't tell. It kind of looks the same, but the N-Line is the one I think you're going to want to get if you want a little bit of pep. And there is an N model coming out. Just like the Veloster N, there is an N performance model for the Kona. And that is what I cannot wait to show you guys and talk about. They also revealed the Elantra N, N-Line, I should say. And it's sharp. The Tucson draws a lot from that, and that's good. They are just way out there. It's not something you would expect. And, you know, there's so much design packaged into a small product and an affordable product at that. And that quantity of design, I think, is why I don't like it as much. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of lines going here and there. There's a lot of breakage in some of the lines. So we will talk about that. I will show you some pictures of that. And what else? Their Hummer, if you haven't heard already, Hummer is back. They're back to destroy nothing this time, hopefully. They'll probably still drive over your grandma's Kia Forte and or your Fiat 500. They're going to crush it. And they're going to do it this time with something called Crab Mode. And that's going to be cool. What is Crab Mode exactly, you ask? Crab Mode is the ability to move sideways like a crab. And how are they going to do that, you say, in a vehicle that's meant to go straight or turn like this? Well, the way you do it is to turn the front set of wheels one way and the rear set of wheels the other way, allowing the car, when you put it in gear, to perpetually slide sideways. That's going to be phenomenal tech for somebody who's going off-road. And what better to do off-roading than, oh, my mom's calling me. I'm not going to take this call. I'm going to mute her. I will. Sorry, Mom. I'm podcasting here. Can't do anything for you. But this Crab Mode is revolutionary. It's not new. There have been vehicles, particularly military vehicles, that have been able to do this, but coming to a production vehicle is crazy. And like a commercial production vehicle to the mainstream. What it's going to help us do is maneuver in and out of tight spaces while off-roading. And as I was saying earlier, before my mom called, was that Hummer is now an electric vehicle, and they're aiming to kind of right the wrong of the original Hummers, which was burn tons and tons of gas and oil and get not very far. So, I mean, I think the Hummer H2 was getting at best 18 miles per gallon highway. What the? Yeah, I can't even explain that. The original Hummer H1, the Alpha or the, oh my gosh, I forgot what it was originally called, but the Humvee, that thing was getting like 10 miles per gallon highway. Wow. And they did have diesel versions, so it was a little bit better and you could go further. It was a bigger range, but so I think Hummer going in the way of electrification is smart. It's interesting, though, that this Hummer is actually a model and not a brand. It's technically a sub-brand under GMC, but it's going to be right now revealed, actually in the next week or next couple weeks, it'll be revealed as a GMC Hummer. There's supposed to be multiple variants of it, so I would imagine, given General Motors' penchant for kind of cookie cutting, but also utilizing all of their chassis and all their platforms for multiple vehicles, i.e. the Silverado and the GMC Sierra for their Tahoes and their Suburbans and the Escalade, they'll probably do the same thing with the Hummer. So you'll get a truck, whether or not it's going to be a four-door, like a quad cab, crew cab, mega cab, I don't know, super cab, or a two-door, I don't know. Nobody knows. It looked like in the video, it's a four-door. How big those four doors are, don't know. But I can tell you this. Think about electrification. When you're designing a car, when you think about what kind of electrification you're doing, whether you have a full electric system and you have like your engine, your motors up in the front, and then maybe you have some in the back. How low do you put them? Do you put them in the wheels? What does maneuvering those motors, which you can do, you can maneuver the heck out of them because they're small, but they're very powerful. And you can spread the amount of workload, essentially the workload that each one has to take. You can spread it out. You don't have to have just one. You just, you can have four if you want, one in each engine. And basically you can spread the workload, and each one of these little motors adds up. It's the sum, and that's what matters. Whereas with a gas-powered engine, you have just the one engine, and that's what's driving your front wheels or your rear wheels or all four wheels or a combination of, you know, torque differentiation. So this is a good thing for Hummer to do electrification. And then now they're going to be able to do this crab mode because their wheels are turning, and it's probably because of the way they package this vehicle. They package the batteries underneath the cab, essentially, and it's like a skateboard platform, kind of like the Rivian R1T and the upcoming Ford F-150 electric. So it brings the center of gravity down real low, and then it allows them to package the motors in such a way that they can achieve this crab mode. And let me show you the quick little video of this. It's just a little glimpse at this, but I think it's cool nevertheless. Let me rotate the camera. So where did it go? So I'm on jalopnik.com right now, and here it is. So as you can see, a crab, and then if you watch, the wheels turn, and it allows the truck to go sideways. Now, given how big the tires are, how big the wheels are, and just the limitations of space inside the wheel well, you're not going to get these things to turn fully sideways, but it's enough to get the driver out of a tough situation, particularly in sand or in mud. But that's smart, and it's a good idea. It's cool. I can imagine that coming to a lot of vehicles. Rivian has a mode called tank mode. We don't know exactly what it's going to do, but I can imagine it's going to do what a tank can do, which is spin on a dime. That's pretty cool too. It's going to do basically the same thing that this does, slightly different, but used for the same purpose. You're going, nobody's going to sit there and really be able to do donuts so perfectly in a circle like that in their Rivian truck. It's illegal unless you're out in the middle of nowhere. But so don't expect to see it on the highway is what I'm saying. But if you're out in the desert, out on a beach or somewhere remote and far away, you can do whatever you want, right? YOLO. Yes, I said YOLO because I am a millennial. So take that. So I'm excited about that. What else is coming out? Let's talk about what happened last night. Last night was epic because for the first time in, I think, 12 years, because 2008 was the release of the 370Z. We now have the 400Z. I meant to do air quote. What the? Bad hand. Bad hand. Stay down. I meant to do the 400Z. So the Nissan 400Z. It sounds like what I'm trying to, you know, deliver to you is that it's a predecessor. It's the successor in the line of Z cars. And in this case, Nissan launched it as the Z Proto. And basically, that's just saying it's a Z prototype. But what they showed to us was absolutely 100% production ready. There might be some minor tweaks here and there in the exterior styling, but based on the looks of everything, it's ready to go. And even the designer and the marketing guy were pretty adamant that this car is going to come out looking the same way it was revealed last night. And that is phenomenal. I can't wait to show you guys this because it's a little bit of Aston Martin meets Fair Lady Z from the 1960s and 70s, all the way to the 240Z and even the 300ZX. Lot going on in one small package. And the best thing is it's an affordable car. It's affordable for anybody. 40K is not that bad. There are people doing dumber shit with Hellcats. And while those are cool cars in their own right, they're a little heavy and they're not something you typically whip around a track. You can, especially now with the wide bodies and all, but they don't have that long hood coupe mentality, low to the ground, lightweight, and affordable. So I'm really excited to show you guys what this thing looks like. So let me take a minute real quick. I'm going to do something here on my podcast, and I will be right back. All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, I heard this in the background, and I want to shoot myself. This is the worst song ever made, next to WAP. Fight me on that one. I don't care. Gucci Wrangler on my booty? Gucci doesn't make Wrangler jeans. Come on. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not down with that, but that mix of rap and country doesn't jive with me. But you know what? Hey, it's art, right? It's artistic to somebody. There's an artist out there creating musical art, and who am I to judge? It's just not my jam. Let's go back to 21 Pilots, right? I like that stuff. I gotta find the music I was listening to earlier, but Vance Joy. Vance Joy is good. We'll listen to Vance Joy after this commercial, of course. So let's get to what I was talking about, the Nissan Proto Z. And we can take a look a little bit at the history of the Z car, as well as, you know, what they're showing now, because it's freaking awesome. So let's start with this. That song is dope. You know, to some people, and that's fine. You know, I'm not going to sit here and judge people's musical choices, but right now I got Riptide by Vance Joy. Kind of reminds me of California, and I miss California right now. I'm longing for the ocean and that kind of relaxed mentality. So anyways, here we have the 1969 Fair Lady Z, and then here we have the brand new, newly revealed, can't wait for this thing to come to production, Nissan 400Z, aka the Proto Z, or the Z Proto. And basically, the only way back in the 60s and 70s to get these kind of small cars was to get something expensive and from the other guys on the West side. By that, I mean Europe and even in the United States. So doing this for Japan was not what they were used to. They were used to doing small cars for sure, but small, affordable performance was not something that they were into. So they did whatever they had to do in order to make this car. And since then, it has become iconic, legendary, and it has bred so many cool vehicles after it, including the GTR and a bunch of other crazy cars that Nissan has come out with. basically what their mentality with this Z Proto was to combine the best essentially of all of the Z's. And you can see a lot of design elements that are hinted in here. So you've got the rear taillights, which they say were directly inspired by the 300ZX, which was my favorite. The overall proportions of the vehicle are very Z, but they are reminiscent of the 350Z, and even a little bit of the 370Z, especially with the big bulgy fender flares and this roof line. I really like how not only is it a floating roof, but it has this nice gray graphite, and it looks chrome, but it's actually like a grayish color line right here. It's got kind of a classic looking Z logo. But here's the kicker. It's got the Fairlady Z badge, which is awesome. That probably won't make it to production, at least not right away. They might have like an homage model eventually at some point, but who knows. This, apparently, the split eye headlight, the circular shape of it overall was reminiscent of the older Zs, which is great. A lot of people who had the older Zs or have been familiar with those cars will appreciate that it's got a similar single headlamp design, and it's not the boomerang Z or L, I don't know what you want to call it, design that the previous generations had, but we do have one headlamp here. And basically they said that the original looked like it had a halo that was split just by the way that the lighting was on the outside, the way the light caught or the headlamp caught the light. So they took that literally and split the lights here. And you have these really modern, high-tech LED light signatures. And I think it's a very nice signature. So when you look at this thing up front, it's got eyes and it's kind of got like an angry smile. It looks aggressive. And then you can see on this hood, it has this hood bulge. Let's see if you can see it. So there's this line here that's direct ripoff from, well, I shouldn't say ripoff in a negative way. It's a direct source from this. And while this one was a little bit narrower and longer, you know, this one definitely captures the idea that there's some power in there. They call that a power bulge because there's something powerful underneath. And what is underneath the hood is a twin turbo V6, and I think it's an inline six. Under the skin is a twin turbo engine at the front. It drives the wheels, and there's a manual transmission. Bingo. That's what's really going to bring people to this. So it says twin turbo 3.0 liter V6. Wait, there's an apparently an automatic in development too, but that's as detailed as the company would get. It's possible a version of the twin turbo 3-liter V6 used by Infiniti could show up. So all we know is that it's a twin turbo 6. They don't tell you the size or anything else. And that's fine. It's enough to whet our appetite. I mean, we see the full vehicle. We know what's under the hood, essentially. And we know what the interior looks like. 100%. And this is a gorgeous interior. While this color might look a little lime greeny in some lighting, in some situations, it's yellow. It's just a new way that they did the yellow. So it's a hearkening back to some of their older vehicles, but in a new way, in a modern, technologically advanced way. The only thing I don't like about this car is the heavy use of screens, but this screen I'm fine with. It's this screen which kind of gets me. I love that the RPMs are front and center, but what I don't love is that we lose the analog gauge, and I think Nissan could have been a bit more clever about it and incorporated at least a tunnel gauge cluster. And, you know, leave the screen, but give us something. So right now you just have this flat screen, and I'm neither here nor there with it. Who knows? Steven, my man, what's up, buddy? Thanks for logging in here. I'm going to set this camera down so you guys can see as I go through these pictures. These pictures will be up on Instagram, and I will have these up as soon as I can. But in the meantime, if you want, you can go to autoblog.com and you can check these out. This is a high-res gallery. I just love the proportions of this vehicle. Super long hood. This line really stretches the car out even more. These lines down here are trippy. They're fast. They're exotic. They're very Aston Martin. Aston Martin is doing this. And what's cool is typically you don't want to have this kind of break in the design. But what they did was they have a straight line underneath here that is a straight line. But the plastic, the lower rocker, tricks the eye and gives you this really cool break. And it works great, especially for a vehicle like this where a lot of the power, a lot of the tension is back here because it's a rear-wheel drive car, but it's launching forward, you know. So when you're thinking about designing a car, especially a sports car like this, think about, you know, where is your power coming from, first and foremost? In this case, the engine's up here, it's a front engine, rear-wheel drive car. But, you know, the engine is driving all the power to the back wheels. So there's a lot of weight back here, and there's a decent amount up here. So a lot of torque is coming from the back, and it's going forward. I don't know if I explained that well enough, but that's what you want to think about when you're designing a car. You know, when you think of some supercars where it's a mid-engine layout, a lot of the design is up here, and it goes back. So it's looking like it's darting forward. This whole section would be moved forward. I can already imagine what a mid-engine version of this would look like, but overall, a great-looking car, and I am excited to see this thing on the road. I don't see anything on this vehicle that's really not production-ready. This could change a little bit, but I don't see why they would change it. I think, if anything, they might add fog lights, because right now there are no fog lights on this whatsoever, or they are hidden. But overall, beautiful car. I want to know what you guys think about it. Go ahead and shout out right now or get onto my podcast, anchor.fm. Leave me a message and let's talk about the Z Proto, because I think it's a great sign of rejuvenation and life within Nissan. And it's really great. Actually, interestingly enough, down in Nashville, Tennessee, this entire week is ZCon. I don't know when ZCon officially started. Maybe it's new this year because of the launch of this. But ZCon is a collection and a gathering of people who are big fans of Nissan Z cars. So they all gather in Nashville. And right now they're practicing safe distance and everything. So you can go down there if you're just a viewer, or if you actually have a Nissan 240 or a 300ZX or a 350Z or a 370Z, or if you just want, you're interested in knowing what this car is, it's down in Nashville, Tennessee, and you can go ahead and check. Not this car, sorry. The Z Proto, I don't think, is in Nashville this week. This one was shown off in Japan at their headquarters in Japan. But ZCon sounds like a great thing. Adam Carolla, I don't know if any of you guys are old enough to remember Adam Carolla, but he was on a show a long time ago. Now he has one of the most listened to podcasts. I can't remember what it's called right now, but it's you know, it's a lot like Top Gear. And he's a big Z car fan, and also just a classic car collector. So check him out. I'm sure his podcast is great. I haven't listened to it. I'm planning on listening to it this weekend. But yeah, check him out. I'm always interested in hearing what another car enthusiast talks about. But lots of good things coming from here. Steve, you said, I love how it looks. A nice sleek style and gives a look of moving fast while standing still. Exactly. If you can evoke that kind of emotion or that kind of motion in your vehicle while it's sitting still, then you've nailed it for the most part. You've nailed the purpose of it. And, you know, after that, it's kind of the engineer's job to make it drive and handle the way a sports car should, and in particular, the way a front-engine rear-wheel drive vehicle should drive. This is not necessarily a Grand Tourer. It's close. Hey, Becky, how you doing? Hi. It tells me to wave, and I got to wave at you guys. It's out of respect. So, hi. If you're wondering, my hair is a hot mess today, and I kind of look like a lion. I'll get into this whole hair thing later, but you know, we'll there's a purpose for why my hair is out of control right now. Fire red or a metallic blue? Yeah, you know what? There was an old metallic blue that they showed. It was a Fair Lady Z that they showed on the live stream last night, and I really like. It's like a Patriot Royal blue. Actually, it's this blue right here. I'll show you. It was basically this blue, and it wasn't too bright. It had a little bit of a matte to it, but just enough of a sheen and a gloss to, you know, evoke something sleek and sexy. Me personally, I would like to see colors more like this. Even some pastels, but some brighter ones. I'm not huge on metallic flake all the time. There are some cars that look great. Yeah, you notice that's a Yeti. It is a Yeti mic. You know, I'm not a huge fan of metallic in most cases. I really like what a lot of these car companies are doing by removing that metallic flake and just giving you the color, the base color with gloss. Jeep's been doing it a lot with Anvil Gray. Dodge did it with Destroyer Gray. Oh, Stingray. There's a blue color, and I can't remember what it's called, that Jeep has. Slate blue, I think. Khaki blue from Subaru is a great looking color on their Crosstrek, and I think even on the Forester. But I like those colors a little bit more than what I do the metallic flake ones. But there are some really nice metallic flake ones out there as well. Let me get over to the other vehicle that I wanted to discuss, and that is the Hyundai Tucson. I just wanted to check and make sure I have time here. This car just is way out in left field, as I said earlier. It's a little polarizing, but overall, I think it's a great direction for Hyundai, and it's a good look at what we're going to start to see in future Hyundai cars, and we're already seeing in some Hyundai cars. The most newest car for Hyundai were the Sonata, the Palisade, and now the Elantra. But the Tucson is brand spanking new and a design that's basically going to be the design language going forward. So what you see first and foremost is this massive grille with daytime running lights, I'm assuming, and the headlight just on, just bright and in your face, and it's there, and there's no way to, you know, really mistake this for anything else. That's the point of signature lighting, is to make a statement that you can see from a great distance and know immediately that it's this vehicle or the next. And Dodge did that dramatically with the racing taillights that they put on the Charger and on the Dart, and then on the Durango. You knew immediately that those vehicles, that taillight signature, was a Dodge product. You know, whether or not you could tell the difference between it being a Durango, a Dart, or a Charger was up to the people who really paid attention. But it also forces people to slow down quite frequently on the highway because they think they see a cop, because that's what cops typically drive, is a Charger. You know, but then they pass them and they realize, it's not a cop. But anyways, back to Hyundai. Hyundai did some really dramatic things here. And from the front, I love it. I love these big punchy fender flares on the front and the back. The hood is real sleek, and it's got this nice crease here that follows up to the back. I really like these fins. And that is my cat in the background meowing. I don't know if you guys can hear. Where are you at? Come here. Let me introduce you guys to one of my cats. Come here, buddy. Nope. Okay. He doesn't want to play right now, so that's fine. Anyways, let's get back to what I don't really – well, actually, you know what? I'm going to keep on the what I love factor. These taillights and that back end. These taillights being as three-dimensional as they are, it's just insane how detailed they are, and then how, I don't know, they just protrude out and it's totally different. You don't see taillights that are broken up like that. And I think we're going to start to see in a lot of vehicles more three-dimensional looking taillights. There are some companies that are trying to get away from showing seams, showing gaps, any kind of panel gaps. So they're doing these really flat surfaces and then using really cool trick lighting underneath and advanced technology. But I think for a car like this, especially in this price range in this market, this was huge for them. Yeah, it kind of does look a little bit like Mercedes. Now, to that point, up in the front again, this form is not new and it's not specific to Hyundai. Subaru has it, Honda has it, Mercedes has it. You could just put a big circle here with the Mercedes TriStar in the middle. Even Dodge has done it with the Charger and the Dart. So it's not something super new, but what Hyundai did to make it theirs was flank it with these really nice light signatures and put a lot of detail into that grill. I wish I could zoom in a little bit more on that grill, but I can't at the moment. Let's take a look at the taillights again, because again, you can see a lot of geometry. There's this motif of diamond cut and geometry here on the body side of the car. A lot of lines and intersections and bisecting and dissecting. It's insane how much line work. It's not just a flat surface anymore like some cars are. Now, as we mentioned, Mercedes is going for a much cleaner look on the side. They don't want all this line work. And that's kind of what my qualm with this vehicle is it's a little busy. And it also looks a little bit like the RAV4. The RAV4 has this big punchy rear shoulder, and then it goes down like this. And then it has these non-symmetrical fender flares. It's not inherently a bad thing. It's just, it's first of all, it's different for Hyundai. It's very far away from what they used to be doing. Maybe this car will look more appealing in person. I think the other thing that really gets me is this kind of design hasn't really trickled down into cars so much yet. Although the Elantra and the Elantra N line will show a lot of new, fresh styling like this, so it's got its pros and cons, and that's fine. I think that's what makes a lot of this subjective. But I think one thing that nobody will argue is the interior. That is a sexy, sexy interior. But I want to point out something, because this should be very obvious right away. The contrast between the interior and the exterior are like night and day. And it's almost like two very different studios, two very different people or groups of people designed the interior versus the exterior. The exterior is super geometric. There's not a lot of like soft lines. There's a lot of hard forms that intersect one another. This is probably a nightmare to do in Alias or whatever CATIA maybe that they used. So very geometric. Even the wheels. And this isn't a prototype. This isn't a concept. This is ready to go. So we will see crazy wheel designs like this. And when I post these on Instagram, I'm going to try and focus on the key design elements inside the wheels, the taillights, the headlights, so on and so forth. But again, very geometric. And then you get on the inside and it's super organic. It's very flowy. It's soft. It's luxurious. I would think that I was driving a Mercedes if I was driving this car, and it's technologically advanced to the nth degree. Now, I'm sure there's more tech in a Mercedes for sure, and there's probably better materials. But from what I can see, this is leaps and bounds over anything Hyundai has done in a long time. And I love it. One of the things that you should notice that you can't see right away, but the air conditioning on this vehicle, as well as the new Elantra and a couple other cars that are coming for Hyundai, is very unique and very different and super trick. What do I mean by that? I mean that you don't really see vents, right? You don't have your traditional plasticky looking vents, at least not ones that are separated from the rest of the form. You do have your vents here, but they're built into this nice form, this nice flat tablet-like surface. And then this whole surface right here is a vent. It's a series of dotted holes, which I'll try to get a better close-up picture on Instagram. But there's perforation in this, and then you have your main vents. 1, 2, 3, 4, and there's probably, you know, your ones on the floor. But this whole surface and wrapping around to an extent is meant to deliver air to you in a nice, soft, flowing way. And it's supposed to just make you feel a little bit more comfortable rather than having air blasted at you from one solid direction and just having this blast of air at you in one particular point. It's going to wrap around you. And I think that's going to be a really nice feel. I don't think any other automaker is doing that right now. So that's really cool. And I like how this form continues and wraps into here. And then it, you know, kind of flows back here. And then this wraps in. Everything is integrated very nice. And this is elegant. Kudos to Hyundai. And I love their new steering wheel where it's kind of like four spokes, but it's really two. And you don't have that third spoke down here. I really like this. So kudos to Hyundai for making what looks to be a very great car. Oh, one thing I did want to point out that I also don't love. You can't really see them too well, but I'll show it on the Instagram, on the gram. There are fake vents at the back of these fenders. And I have a thing about that because if you're going to do vents, make sure that they're functional. Especially if you're going to go the extent of making it look like what vents typically look like, make them functional. Honda screwed up in that with the fake vents all over the Civic and particularly the Civic Type R. Even Mercedes is guilty of putting some vents in places and not actually being functional vents. Vents are meant to extract or allow for an escape for hot air, whether that's hot air from your brakes, hot air from the engine, or just to direct airflow around the vehicle rather than under the vehicle and get all tangled up in the bottom or going through other surfaces. That's why big car or exotic cars like Ferraris and Lamborghinis, they have functional vents that go in specific ways that serve a purpose. And a lot of those cars actually suck in that air from the side of the vehicle or even the front of the vehicle, and they direct it all the way to the back in it, like an intercooler system. And there's a lot of tech and craziness behind it, but there's purpose. So this is the only major knock I'm going to give Hyundai, is that they put these fake vents all over the car, and they serve zero purpose. So let me know what you guys think. Steve, you already mentioned i6 Buddy. Thank you for your input as well. But that's that. We already talked about, let's see how much time I got left here. Got another 5 minutes. We already talked about Hummer and their crab walk. I will stream live when Hummer go, well, GMC, when they go live with their stream for the Hummer truck by GMC. And I did want to show you guys this real quick, because I think this is definitely worth talking about. Briefly, and that is, I might have to go through a couple of these pages because it happened a couple days ago. Oh, two things actually. One, there are some companies in China that are notorious for copying other automakers, and particularly Proton likes to copy Ford, and they came out with this very interesting looking, kind of like an F-150, but on the side it's more Silverado. It's a weird mashup, and while I don't think it necessarily looks terrible, it's also the fact that there's a lot of copyright infringement involved, and that is kind of a problem. I'm trying to find where the Raptor TRX was, because that has been the highlight of my, we'll say, the past month for me. If I can't find it in this next thing, we'll talk about it later. Okay, I can't find it. So what I will talk about is this. Intank, thanks for tuning in here, man. I appreciate your support as always. Okay, the Maserati MC20, which I think in Roman numerals might be 2020. I don't remember exactly, but that is just a beautiful car. And speaking of vents, you have intakes here, and then out the back for heat exhaust, heat intake, or cold air intake. This is a phenomenal design, and it took Maserati in a very different direction from where they are right now. And, it harkens back to their original supercar. And I can't remember what the name of that thing was, but the amount of design and care and thoughtfulness that went into this vehicle, what they're showing here is the paint and kind of where this lighting element is right here. But you have the Trident, the tri-spoke that Maserati is known for, high quality leather with this nice blue stitching and blue wrap. They use this blue for a couple reasons. And that part of it is because it's a hybrid. So you can be eco-friendly while driving very, very fast. There's just so much really cool design that went into this vehicle. And I love section here. Okay, so I'm back. Sorry about that. There's a little bit of a technical error on my part there. I want to show you guys this last thing. Because between the TRX and this, I think Jeep and FCA in general are on point with their large vehicles. And let me show you. If you guys missed this by any chance, you can go to, I did stream this on Instagram, so you can go back in my videos and watch this over again, or you can come to jeep.com. And if you go up to vehicles, there's a thing right here for the Wagoneer. That is the Wagoneer and the Grand Wagoneer. But if you click on this, you can get some pictures. You can watch the video that they had of this, and you can see how ornate and how well decorated this vehicle is. So when you think about American products, you don't typically think of luxury, right? Cadillac might be the only thing that you might equivocate to American luxury. So Jeep said, you know what, enough. We need some of that. And they brought back a heritage name, a legendary name. The Wagoneer was probably the first serious SUV, luxury SUV. You know, you can argue Defender, Wagoneer, yada, yada. But let's look at it this way. One was American and one was British. This is built onto a truck platform. This will be built in Warren at the Warren Truck Assembly Plant here in Michigan. But this is all American, all Jeep, and very luxurious. The amount of detail that went into all of this, there's like little bits of wood here with aluminum. This isn't just knurled aluminum down here. There is a very ornate pattern here. There's some intricacy here inside this shift knob. All of these buttons are like a haptic feedback underneath a glass, which is great. I don't know if they actually push in. They don't look like they have the seams that break for push-ins, but we'll see. These two switches do four high, four low. It looks like they also change between rock, sand, mud, auto, snow, and sport. And these this little toggle switch over here raises or lowers the vehicle. But check this out. A secondary screen. And this screen is – actually, it's a tertiary screen. So you have your center one, which everybody can see. And then you have your gauge cluster, which is a massive screen. But then the passenger has their own screen, which they can watch movies that the driver cannot see. And if they were on the map section, which this little guy here is the map app, if they were on that, they could swipe it over and it would go into the center screen. I don't know if it'll go over to the driver's screen too. I would imagine it would if they have some sort of virtual cockpit. But very truck-like, very Ram-esque seats, but with their own flair. The material that they're using is something that's weatherproof, waterproof, and very durable and rugged. So kind of like the Ram Rebel. We'll call it vegan, right? These synthetic materials that we're not relying on cattle, cow, and other animals to provide the skin for this. Jeep is trying to be a little bit more sensible. But they are including really high-end quality woods, metals, and the stitching. A really nice sound system. Macintosh is phenomenal. And overall, this is just a brilliant design. And they have a lot of lighting signatures going on here. There's a switchback lighting signature here for the turn signals. There's actually wood inside these headlights, which is nuts. Don't know if that'll make it to production, but you could imagine it would, because this vehicle might top $100,000. And with the exception of, and here's the taillights. Again, very jewel-like, very detailed, very ornate. The one really cool thing about this roof line, which you can't see in this picture, unfortunately, is the map of Detroit is etched into the ceiling. So whenever you look up, you would see it, or if you were able to look it down like with a drone or something, you could see the roof is a map of Detroit. It looks a little bit like a Tahoe, not going to lie, on the side. See if I can get a bigger picture here. It's very big and blocky like a Tahoe, but with that Jeep flair. And oh, we were talking about Hyundai having this kind of winglet grill. Look, Jeep has it now too, where they've integrated the headlights into the grill. I think when you integrate headlights into the grill, you're ultimately going to get a form like that. I guess they could have made a perfect rectangle, something like that. But that's okay. I'm all right with this. It's a little bit smaller. It's leaning forward. It kind of looks like a shark from the side. But we can take from this the possibility that the next generation Grand Cherokee and the Grand Cherokee 3-Row will borrow some elements from this. And this is probably very close to production. I can't imagine them changing too much. Maybe we would lose these, but you can see the trapezoid motif that Jeep is known for. It's built into the mirrors as well. Again, here's more detail on just this push start button. When have you seen a push start button be its own element, its own floating thing? I mean, it's completely separate. Usually the button is just like a circle in the wood. But overall, some really good vehicles that are coming down the pipeline, and I'm excited. I hope you guys are excited. I'm going to try and get back on these podcasts a lot more regularly and bring you guys the latest news, a lot of design talk, but I want to hear more feedback from you guys. I want to have engaging conversations with you guys to see, you know, I'm here to help too. That's kind of why I started Sketchbook Audio, was to help people with their sketching, their designs. I've helped a few people that have started following me, help with their sketches. I'll do layovers. I will help you with your sketches. I will help you point you in the right direction. People ask me quite frequently, actually, where can I go to school for this, that, and the other? And I'll try to point them in the right direction. I will leave you guys with this before I'm done here. If you want kind of the best guide to get you through your pursuit of designing cars, if that's what you want to go into, or even product design, it's all the same. Get this book, I Draw Cars My buddy started this book, actually two of them, but now it's just the one guy, Matt Morocco. He started this, and it's a phenomenal book. It's a great source for information, and it'll even tell you schools you can go to, websites you can go to look up car stuff. It gives you help on proportions, just the basics for car design, and you too can eventually, with a lot of practice, can become really good at drawing cars. And it's called I Draw Cars. It's a great book. I think it's like $25, worth every penny. I have about 10 copies of it because I just keep filling them up. And like I said, great book. Anyways, that's it for today. Thank you. The last thing I'm going to leave you guys with is, please, November 3rd is coming up in a month and a half. Go vote. I don't care who you're voting for. I don't care if you respect this guy or dislike the other guy or girl. Just get out there and vote, please. It shows that we're actually involved in the government that we are supposed to be a part of, because it's a democracy and it's for the people, by the people, or by the people, for the people, however that line actually goes. So get out there and vote November 3rd. It's kind of our right as Americans, as well as our obligation. So do that. And please, if you're out, let's kill this pandemic as quick as possible. It's probably going to be another year before we're all good to take off our masks officially. But when you're out, just wear a mask. They're cheap. In fact, if you need masks, shoot me a message on Instagram and I will mail you some masks. I don't even care. I'll point you in the direction of some good masks. Just do our part. Be cognizant of other people. Be aware. Be good to one another. Get your sketchbook out. Draw. And enjoy life. And we'll talk to you next time here on Sketchbook Audio.